Hey everybody, welcome back to the 10th floor. It's me, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
That's Kat.
I'm Kat. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody. Yeah, come on out of that waiting room, climb on into the elevator. We're actually gonna get out of the elevator immediately. We're leaving. We're gonna go to Bobby's. There's a special event, a special Easter event happening. They got decoration, little pink bunnies all along the walls. Special Easter egg hunt in the front, near the benches and tables, for all youngins. Little blonde Wiley running around with little James trying to find them eggs. Avery's getting a little too
Something
old
like
for it.
that. They should have done a little, like, I don't know, an Easter egg hunt over there in Oscar's Meadow or something.
You know, something like that.
They should have done that.
Avery and Donna. Avery is feeling a little too old and too cool for this now. Donna, though, still in the pocket, still excited to run around. Okay. Jake, Aiden, and Danny. And Dante's kid are all hanging out in the back with their arms crossed, looking angry at each other.
You know what's funny is that you said that that Avery may be a little too cool for that.
Yeah.
So on Sat no, on Saturday, yesterday, your sister took your nie all your nieces and your nephew to a Easter egg hunt, community Easter egg hunt. Well, Stephen, who's 10 years old, was far too cool to go look for an egg. But then after the hunt was over and his sister and his cousin had baskets full of eggs and candy, he wanted to know if he could have some. And your sister, his auntie, told him, "You should have hunted, huh?" Sorry, no, thank you.
My sister's really good at that. My sister's good at that like she knows how to like give consequences without torturing the child.
Yeah.
She like she knows like she has a clear idea on how to do that. And it's a sight to behold. You know, I wasn't there to witness that, but I'm sure there was no dripping sarcasm or meanness in her tone. It was a simple state of fact. If you wanted that chocolate, you should have hunted for eggs.
And they had it split up too. It's not like he was going to have to hunt with a 2-year-old. They had it sectioned out, so there was an older group to hunt in a designated area. He could have went and did that, but he was too cool for
He could have
school.
found 10 bucks, but no.
Exactly.
No. He could have gotten two booster packs of Pokemon cards, but no. But no. Instead, he was too cool. Happy Easter, everybody. Melissa's talking, Sandra's talking. That's it so far. I don't imagine we're going to have Chandra today. I imagine she is knee-deep in Easter. I
She's
don't know who
right.
else is out there.
I hope that anybody that isn't with us this morning is having so much fun that the 10th floor is not on your mind.
Jeannie's here too. I figure Kelly's gonna show up in any moment. And who else wants to show up here on the 10th floor? You're welcome to. Melissa says that Valentine is the Agatha Harkness of Port Charles. And Ma, that's not a reference you're going to understand. But I'm glad that Melissa understood the reference I made on today's cover art.
What was
So, Agatha Harkness is a character in those Marvel superhero stuff.
it
She was in the
now? Okay. Not
WandaVision.
familiar.
She was in the WandaVision TV show that's on Disney Plus, which I'm sure you've seen the graphic of Disney. Just, a little superhero, 10 episode, 8 episode, just mini show about a couple of these characters that were in the movies. And in this was a secondary character named Agatha Harkness, who was the secret villain during the entire thing. Now, the way that they presented the show was about Elizabeth Olsen, who's Mary-Kate and Ashley's little sister.
Yes.
She's an actress, and she plays the Scarlet Witch, Ma,
Okay.
and she's got all of these reality warping powers. And in the show, she changed this small town to resemble different eras of television. So the first episode was like I Love Lucy.
Okay.
And the second episode was like something from the 70s,
Happy days.
like a Happy Days type of thing, right? And then the next one was like was 80s century. It was like Who's the Boss, right? The next one was like Full House, and then the next one was like Malcolm in the Middle, and the next one was like Modern Family. So it just
Okay.
presented the show
Through the decades.
as if it was these different eras of television, and Agatha Harkness was the villain behind the scenes this whole time. And we find out in like the second to the last episode that it was Agatha all along.
Well, that's a very good reference, man.
So with Agatha all along, there was a theme song that they gave to this character, and they gave her a little mini TV opening, showing her all of the little dastardly things that she was doing behind the scenes throughout this entire series so far. And it was set up like the Munsters, and just in style. It was black and white, and it was kind of creepy because she played this witch. And the name of that song is It Was Agatha All Along. And that was the whole point of It Was Agatha All
All
Along.
along,
Yeah. And that was the whole thing. And so I stole that. I stole the Munsters art, the Munsters text. And so today's cover art is It Was Valentine All Along. And that was my very long explanation as to why that's super funny and everybody should love it.
It is pretty funny. Yeah, that balance, man, oh man. I'm not surprised that it's Valentine, but at the same time, though, oh boy, that's some good TV right there.
Is so good TV. Like,
It
I'm
was such good
surprised and
TV.
not surprised.
But
He really did
guys,
launch it.
this is what I this was hard for me.
Okay.
I had to watch those scenes over again. Isn't the scenes of Valentine and Brennan in the car?
Jack Brennan.
Jack Brennan had to rewatch that stuff because I don't know about you guys. But Jack Brennan doesn't enunciate that well. He doesn't move his mouth that much.
So it's hard to read his lips while he's talking.
It's
You really
hard
got
to
to
read his
listen.
lips. You really got to listen. And he has an accent. And they had the great between the characters. So it was really hard. And their voices weren't all that, they
Because
weren't
they're trying to be
projecting as much.
clandestine, have the secret conversation.
Exactly.
They even picked a deaf cop who couldn't even hear him.
Yes, that was pretty smart. That
Yeah.
was cool, actually. And they still paid him off, even though he couldn't hear a doggone thing,
Right.
which is fine because it was still illegal.
Yes.
But that's what I didn't like about it. It was a little hard to understand all, and there was a lot of dialogue.
Oh yeah. Well, they had to really set exactly what their intention is going forward with this story that they're inheriting. And so they
Oh
really had
my
to like
gosh.
they had to establish a couple of things really hard in this
They
conversation. Number one, he's not John Brennan anymore. He is Jack Brennan. Because
did.
we have a John Cates and we have Jack Brennan, and we ain't having two Johns at the same time.
That could get complicated.
We had to establish that Valentine was far more connected into Pikeman this entire time than he originally had let on with Sonny when he sat down across from Sonny that one time, maybe twice in total. First, I think it was, hey, here's this opportunity with Pikeman. You should take it. It's really lucrative. The second one was, I know Pikeman has made you a little concerned and confused, but hey, the money's good and you're going to be fine. I think those were the two interactions that Valentine has had in total throughout this entire thing. But we find out he's a
Watch,
little
watch. You know,
more involved.
oh, big time. Valentine. Oh my gosh. Valentine, your daddy would be so proud of you.
So here's the thing, and this is one of those things that only the future is going to be able to inform us. What is going to happen next will answer this question that I have. Because that conversation they had, now maybe you have the answer because you watched it more than once. I wasn't able to leave that conversation between Valentine and Jack with a full understanding of whether or not Valentine has been at the top of Pikeman this whole time, or at the top of Pikeman since Jack was arrested. Because I feel like there was both of them kind of seemed true at the same time.
I think both of them are true at the same time too. Now, no, they didn't explain that. They
Not
did not explain that.
clearly. I know,
Not
like,
clearly.
Valentine referenced something about being in charge since Jack was in prison, but that could also be interpreted as these are the things that I have been doing that you don't know about because you have been in prison. I have been running these operations rather than you because you were unavailable. Not I stepped up to fill the void of you in a role that I hadn't been in before. So I'm not 100% clear yet as to how involved Valentine has been this whole time. Did he burn down Anna's house?
That's, I don't think so. Don't think so. I don't think so. Because I do think it back then, I think his feelings for Anna seemed to be real. Boy, they sure have made a heel turn on him, haven't they?
He's still dastardly, folks. That's what Jack said. See, I don't know. I don't know because it all also depends on motivation. Valentine is not beyond doing bad things to get what he wants. Like for example, the result of Anna's house burning down is she moved in with him. And that could have been just something that he wanted to happen. Let me inspire this in some way. Burning down Anna's house so she would have to move in with him isn't far away from Valentine's mind being like, well, this is a basic logical thing I can do. You know what I'm trying to
Well,
say?
yeah, opportunity for manipulation.
She was running, she wasn't even at home, he would have known that, all that kind of stuff. Like it was a manipulation. Yeah, he manipulated the situation to make it more likely for him to have the result that he was after. So I totally see it as reasonable that he could have possibly done that, ordered that, or been involved in that. I don't
But
know.
man, he doesn't see any resolution of the whole Sonny thing. It's just killing him is the best thing to do.
Well,
So,
he.
but that does tell me though, even though he might not be behind like sparking up Anna's house, but he was behind that Metro Court shooting.
Or at least knew that it was going on and facilitated it in some way, knowing that Sonny was the target. I mean, they did take a couple of attempts at Sonny, so I can understand that at this point, him sitting in that van going, you know what, this is challenging. This is harder to pull off than we thought it was going to be. So instead of just killing him, let's have him ruin himself. Now, Sonny has been a little on the edge over the last couple of
Sonny
weeks.
has been a little on the edge. Now, the impression I got from the conversation was he hasn't started giving him the placebos yet.
That is the impression that I got as well. I reached out to his. Soon he will be.
His next refill is going to.
Right. Now, Sonny's dope totally been on the edge, which means that the reliance on his medicine is higher than ever. It's really keeping him, because right now he's being pushed, right? Like he beat the tar out of Cyrus and tried to put an air bowl in his thing and doesn't believe a word coming out of Jason and Carly's mouth. Like he's really at the edge of his ability to control himself while being medicated.
Yes,
Which
he's
means that
already teetering.
without the benefit of that medication, he is going to completely fly off the handle.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And
Yes, he is.
I always try to put myself in Maurice Bernard's shoes during this story, these types of stories. Because he has been, especially recently, so open and honest about his battles with bipolar and how Sonny is bipolar due to the influence that Maurice has had on the character, which means that trait of Sonny's has to feel very personal to him.
I wonder how Maurice feels about another go around of Sonny falling off the rails.
You know, but also at the same time, I feel like this is kind of being done in a different way because it's showing. Because it's an opportunity for Maurice Bernard to show and educate the audience in how the medicine really can keep you under control during the most tense situations of your life. By showing the results of somebody tampering with it or not having access to it, or, you know, if you want to put yourself in the situation where you decide you're not taking it anymore, you can see through this dramatized reaction what the result of those things might be. And so it's an interesting opportunity to kind of show the other side of it, not well, this is how it really helps me every day, but to show how it doesn't help you when you're off.
I wonder if Ava figures this out, the placebos part, if Ava figures it out, will she do the right thing or she will just take it as more opportunity to get Mr. Corinthos, as she's always wanted him, to be her man, kind of. That's what she seems to want. Will she come clean? Will she recognize something and take the high road and do the right thing? Or will she, you know, and this is right in Ava's wheelhouse because she did the same thing to Morgan, even though she's not facilitating it this time. She did the same thing to Morgan.
I don't know. It's I oh goodness. It really depends on who or what are Ava's motivations in this. Is she being more nefarious and secretive during this whole time than she has been letting on? Has she and Valentine been in some sort of cahoots?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Do they have the same idea and don't realize it? Has Ava already been tampering with Sunny's medication and Valentine doesn't realize it?
Wouldn't that be something?
Any
that
number of things
happen.
Are possible under That's the new possible. Writing team. Because like we said before the change happened, 3 years of solid good ideas, and we're seeing it already. Mm-hmm. So anything is really possible. Really, anything is. I can see Ava and Valentine kind of coming to the same conclusion. Well, if Sonny was a little more off his rocker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is already something that Ava's done in the past.
Exactly.
And it worked.
It did.
If he hadn't have got blown up, it worked.
But that was Julian. Wasn't her, or whoever it is, Olivia, whoever planted the bomb, I can't recall.
Right.
I think it was
but
Olivia.
That wouldn't, of course, she didn't. She wasn't behind the bombing of the vehicle
no,
and had the organ no. blown up.
The only
but
thing
she wanted, but she wanted him to be off his meds yeah. and be crazy.
The
and,
only thing
you know,
that she
volatile.
Wanted was for him to be unpredictable. Mm-hmm. She didn't like say, "Hey, Morgan, why don't you hop in that car real quick?" You know, like. I do think that she gets a little too much smoke for the death of Morgan.
Kind of.
She was involved, but it wasn't her fault. She didn't make it happen. She wasn't involved in the planning.
No.
It was an accident.
No, it was completely different. That it in the result is not what she was hoping for.
No, now, no.
You want to hold Ava? You want to hold Ava responsible for something for real? Kate Howard.
There you
She's
go.
She's really responsible for
she,
that.
She held a gun to that person and pulled the trigger.
Yeah, close you know? Range, blew her away.
Gosh, she almost off Ryan.
Yeah.
She's right in his back. That long kitchen butcher knife, really. Man, oh gosh, what a moment. What a moment. Where's Brenda's cottage? Somewhere far away from New York. Melissa is certain that Ava's working with Valentine.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So.
I wouldn't be surprised. That'd be juicy too. I like. Yeah. Oh, but man, Ava's real good at being bad. But I kind of did want to see them as like, kind of wanted to see Ava and Sunny like some dynamic duo of crime lords. I really did want to see that.
Maybe we'll still get it. Maybe she's not messing with them and has genuine feelings.
I don't know.
You know, maybe something's ignited between the two of them in the solitude of his penthouse.
I really think that she wants Sonny to fall for her just for the idea that he's fallen for her because he never fell for her before. They had some angry tomb sex.
That is it. That is it, really.
And that was it.
You know?
There was no rape romance. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Because we haven't explored what she's thinking. We've seen her reaction to, we've seen her influence, we've seen her try to guide Joss away from Dex, so she didn't, like, accidentally walk in with Sunny shooting him in the head, you know?
Right.
Which didn't happen, but, you know, Ava was like, you stay away from that situation, you dumb blonde. So, you know, she's involved, she's influenced things, she knows what's going on, and she, of all of the characters out there, probably except for Carly, would understand how Sonny's mind works and the pressure he's under and what he has to do in order to survive better than anybody, way better than Nina, that's for sure.
Oh, Nina. Wait, Nina's going to be mad as hell when she figures out that Ava, when she figures out that Ava's, because she kind of suspects it a tiny bit. But she's going to be mad as all get out when she figures out that Ava's trying to bed her man. And Ava's telling her that she's going to hatch a plan with her to get him back.
Yeah.
She got a plan. She got a plan already, but there's no benefit for you, Miss Nina, in it.
None whatsoever. I really don't know what the future is for Nina right now, especially now with these revelations about Valentine. He's into things a lot bigger than I thought he was going to be involved in. And so my dreams of a Valentine and Nina pairing again, I don't know, feel a little more far-fetched, because I'm not sure how how interested Nina would be in jumping in with somebody who also is running a major dangerous organization.
It depends on how much Nina wants some revenge on Sonny and Ava.
Ooh, see, that's the thing too, okay? Because if things continue to go out of control, if she loses Ava as the best friend because she walks in on them in flagrante delicto, as they say, then that could ignite another layer. And who knows, maybe we get Valentine, Drew, and Nina all working together to try to make Port Charles what they want it to be.
Yeah, you know what, Valentine? Ooh, he's reaching deep for his Cassadine.
He is. He
Man, oh
is. He
man!
is. James Lott Jr. is with us in the chat. Hello, James.
Happy Easter,
He
James.
says, Happy Easter, Happy Resurrection Day from James. Those specific words. He says, the Valentine revelation was so good and unexpected. And here's a question from Blinkma. Why did Ava make it so that she told Sonny that Dante was okay rather than just allowing him to see the text or saying, hey, you got a text? Why did she make it? So she was like, oh, I called the hospital and found this out for you, rather
Because
than just seeing the text.
it would it it's it's convincing Sonny that somehow she needs him, he needs her, and that she's in his corner, she's looking out for him, and she made the
Exactly.
call, and then she offered to call back, and she didn't ask those questions, and
She
ah
wanted the good news and update to be associated with her voice and face. She wanted
absolutely.
that lift in his spirits and this surge of happy brain chemicals to
Yes,
be
she wants to be
associated with Ava
next to
Drew.
that dopamine.
Exactly. She's brainwashing him through dopamine. And she kind of has been doing that over the last couple of weeks, just in the conversations and
And then he
support.
smooched her too.
I know he's fallen for it.
Yes, he is.
Ooh. All of
He's
our
evil.
heroes are falling, everybody.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And let's talk about the showdown between he and Harley. Jason and Ava
Mama, I really have to
and
compliment,
there.
before we get into the details of that, I have to compliment how they just even set these situations up now. For Jason to walk in on Sunny kind of berating Carly over it is so brilliant to me, just in just the setup alone of him walking in, being undisturbed really by the words that are coming out of Sonny's mouth in any major way, and then just standing next to her like there's not even going to be a question as to whose side I'm on in this argument, Mr.
Sure.
Sonny,
Yeah, it's a line in the sand.
you know.
Fast.
So, like, just in the physicality, the stage direction. And that doesn't come from the script. That comes from the directors being more inspired by the script. And I love to see it. I love to see the positive rippling through all of the different departments on General Hospital.
I tell
And
you,
having
the
Carly standing in
difference,
between them. Oh, yes, says James.
the difference in intensity between Steve Burton playing Harris, Steve Burton playing Jason, the intensity of it is, even though there's not more words or anything, and there's really currently not more action, but the intensity of it is just different, isn't it?
There is an extra layer of believability, I guess, when he's Jason Morgan. I see a little less of Steve Burton acting and a little more of Jason Morgan existing, and that has to do with passion and experience, I love to see it. I've really enjoyed his comeback, and I've enjoyed every really bit and scene that they've included Jason in. The showdown between them there at the end of this week, where Sonny's basically just yelling at both of them. You both betrayed me.
I know. And I was really shocked. I was really shocked when they had this come out of Sonny's mouth when he was referring to Michael, your son. He's never done that before.
Sonny is really feeling it. And I reiterate this on Twitter, and I think I re reiterate this on the podcast a little bit too. This isn't just, well, the last 2 years, Jason. It's been like the last since your patient six. ever since you died the first time, or most recent to last time, because it wasn't the first, but the time you were shot by Faison and dumped off of the docks, came back as patient six. Things have not been exactly as smooth as they had been before when it came to the trio of Sonny, Carly, and Jason.
And when the rocks fell on Jason's head at that time, Sonny already had a bad taste in his mouth a little bit for Jason.
Yeah, because of the Carly situation. And so the rocks fall on his head. He doesn't call. He doesn't write. He doesn't even send a postcard or a stamp with his initials on it. Nothing. Nothing. And so I kind of see it when it comes down to it. I think Sonny is reacting the way Sonny would. I don't find this to be shocking, beyond like, oh, how fun. But I don't find it to be out of character. I don't find it to be a shocking development. I think that this makes perfect sense.
It does, and Jay and Sonny doesn't know where with Carly. Carly is it doesn't she won't second guess him because she just her blanket statement is it's Jason. It doesn't matter. It's Jason. You can just trust him, you can believe him, and you can count on him. It's Jason in the story. You know, like she and like she said to Sonny. He's taken bullets for you. He saved you. He went to jail for your son,
But
and that's
now
why
he's working
he
for
came
the
back for your
feds.
son.
He's an informant for the feds. Like you could see, like kudos to Maurice Bernard for that moment when Jason says, "Hey, I've been an informant for the FBI over the last 2 years," and you can see just the crack in Sonny's just entire view of who Jason is in that moment, where he's like, I never expected you to do that even to protect somebody. I expected you to find yourself in some gulag in, under some hill in Scotland with your mouth shut before working with the FBI to keep somebody safe."
Right.
And I think that was the major thing. That was the final nail in the "you betrayed me" coffin in Sonny's mind, and I'm with it.
So good. So good.
It is good. James is convinced that Sonny's meds are already being messed with, so that's leading to this
Maybe
enhanced reaction.
what you said earlier might be true, Matt.
Maybe
Maybe you're already being messed with by Ava.
Ava and Valentine have the same idea, or they've been working together. I don't think that. No, I don't lean toward working together because if that was the case, I don't see why Valentine would have to reach out to the pharmacist. But if his meds are being messed with, like I said just moments ago, it's because they had the same thought. If I could just knock Sonny off his rocker a little bit more, it can be very advantageous to me. Oh.
Oh man, that's good stuff. I'm on the edge of my seat watching General Hospital lately. It's really good. It's really
It
good.
is.
I tell you, this is a, I mean, I'm disappointed in Ava. I like Ava though, but I'm disappointed in her and the thing she's pulling right now. But this is what the number one thing is. She trying to get him back on the juice too, you know, pouring him scotch and stuff.
She's trying
He's
to
gonna
knock him
be
off,
thrown.
Ma. She's trying to knock him off.
She's trying to get him off his rocker.
Or at
You
least
know?
remind him who he used to be. The powerful
Something like
Sonny,
that.
the
But
one that
he's
wasn't
gonna be thrown.
so manipulated by your emotions and your sensitivities, but one that is able to make the hard choices and do what needs to be done.
He is
Maybe.
gonna be throwing highball glasses against the fireplace in no time.
Remember 2 years ago at the convention where he's like, "90 Sonny is back."
Yes.
I think 90 Sonny might be back now.
Yeah, that was for real. That wasn't for real when he said that. I thought, oh, he's going to come up with something really sinister, and really didn't. He just had more Sonny to play. Yes.
Like 90 Sonny's back was basically him just giving that angry look to the Novak in the trunk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Guess you won't mess with me again. Ava going back to her old ways, all that kind of stuff. Over the last couple of years, we really softened a lot of the villains on General Hospital. When it came down to it, the dripping with villainy was reserved for a character that came through and did a whole bunch of terrible things that the audience could never forgive. Pretty much Esme, and then before that, it was Nell. So there's just been kind of one centralized supervillain. While the other antagonists that had been a part of the show were all softened due to love and relationships and all that sort of stuff.
It interesting that they're going to vilify these folks that had been, you know, had been good for a little while? They're going to vilify these people And then they go, "Here, Heather."
They're going to stop at Heather, but make a Valentine and Ava a little more in line with how they were originally written.
Oh, I tell you what. For Valentine, his dad would be so proud of him, and his auntie Helena would be, woohoo, yay!
But you know, it's not just these people. This is who's gotten the main focus, you know, over the last couple of days. But you know, I mean, Dante, at the end of the week, he's woken up, and the first thing he wanted to do was tell Anna that Jason didn't shoot him. Perfect. Yep. Good timing.
Perfect timing.
Because now he doesn't have to go to trial or something, right? I don't know. He's gonna hang out in Kelly's. He's gonna live above Bobby's again, right?
I love that. I love that he's going to be upstairs. And you know, it's going to be ridiculous too. He's going to be up and down those stairs like no one, like, and no one's going to see him.
How long has it been since somebody lived in that apartment too? To me, that just shows the, I don't know, because it's going to be difficult, like I say every week, for me to compliment what's happening now without disparaging what was happening before. Because it seems as though the focus is family and history. When it comes to really selling these stories, where it hadn't existed before. And history in the fact that we have somebody living above Bobby's. When was the last time somebody had lived up there?
Oh, it's been a while.
A long time.
There was a period of time. There was a period of time where they didn't even show the stairs anymore.
Yeah.
Now the stairs are in clear view again.
Again, because they're necessary. You know, so just those little nods to things that hadn't been touched on the show in a number of years. I get the mentality from the writers from before. Why focus on the past when we can push the future? You know, when we could tell our stories and not be burdened by apartments above Bobby's. Mm-hmm. But there is an element of just enjoyable comfort that comes to references of these things that had existed for a long time.
And I love that they chose to go to Bobby's and sit together and
have a little toast to her.
Yes, I loved it.
Yes. Hey, Chandra's here. Hey, Chandra.
Oh, Chandra, we thought for sure you would.
You know, I didn't do a huge, do a great job of advertising the early start time because I forgot. So until you texted me earlier. Like, oh, yeah. We're going on half an hour early. But hey, Chandra, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day, whatever it is that you say, hello and welcome. James also loves the touches of history. I am enjoying the elevated sense of family. Again, I defended it before. I understand isolating these family units so they don't really blend through. And, you know, Sam is more of a Lexus's kid than a Cassadine type of deal. Like, I get that when it comes to ease of being able to tell these stories and really sell the relationships. But that doesn't mean I don't freaking love Danny and Alexis having a "you're my favorite grandma" conversation. That doesn't mean I don't love having Aiden opening the door to see Jason standing on the other side. Like, all of these little tiny family moments. Yes. I know that Jason isn't Aiden's dad, but Jason is Aiden's brother's dad. Jason is Jake's dad. Jake is Aiden's brother.
Yes.
Yes.
I was trying to put Lucky in there somehow.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't. Because Lucky hasn't been in there in a long time.
No, so. Lucky is Aiden's dad.
Yeah, Lucky is Aiden's dad, but Jason is Jake's dad, and Jake is Aiden's brother. So, you know, there is this connection. Aiden might have a thought, an opinion, a perspective on what's going on that would never have been even given the 5 seconds of "I've opened the door" from before. You know, even if it's just like, "Oh, hey, Jason's here, come on in," and then he runs upstairs, you know, at least we got a little bit of his, like, oh, reaction. So I don't know, it's good to see. It's just good to see, Ma. It is.
I love last week. I love Brooklyn's reaction when Jason walked into the police station. Yes. She was like, it was lovely. I loved it.
And then she delivered that letter from Monica.
Yes.
Oh, Monica. And then they gave a good excuse. You know, she got injured, but was undaunted. But because she was injured and still undaunted, she got sick. I think
they're just going to explain away the reason why we don't have Leslie on the screen. And, you know, and until someday when she really physically cannot
Well, she
ever. You
seems
know,
like she physically cannot currently. I don't know. Will they write her a farewell episode, because because I don't know what it's like to be elderly and have played somebody for a long time. Do you want to play the death of that character?
I would think not.
But also at the same time, as an artist who has like been, Monica Quatermain this whole time, it's been her career is being Monica Quatermain. Monica Quatermain is her whole second life, essentially. So wouldn't it be interesting as an artist to be able to explore the end of that person's life as you approach the end of yours? I don't know. I haven't played a character for 35 years. I don't know. But it might be interesting.
Not something I want to
I get that.
do.
I totally get that. She got a bug at the hospital, so I'm like, yep, she got a little sick.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what are they going to do someday when Leslie's really not here. I don't know. What are they going to do someday when Graham, Rachel Ames is not really here?
Well, that
They've
was when
made reference to her now for years
that well
without her
that
being
that that's when
present.
Grams is going to pass on the show. It's funny because Blink mentions her right now. Audrey's still alive. Yeah, but also Audrey hasn't been on the show in 20 years.
No,
You know,
I can't
Leslie
even.
Charleston has been on the show this year, within the last 6 months.
Yes, they had that
So
one
it's a little
scene where she
different.
was sitting down and yeah.
Stuart Damon had a wonderful retirement, sending Alan Q off before he left. John Engel played the death of Edward Quatermain before he passed in real life, didn't he? They wheeled his sick butt out after he gave the cure.
Yes, I think didn't he forfeit himself for to save
Yeah,
somebody?
he
A
didn't take the
toxic
cure
something?
of the encephalitis or whatever it was. He passed the cure on to
A child, I
a
don't remember.
child, a
Yes.
young Emma. I think it was Emma. So he let Emma have it, and then ultimately the Edward character passed away off screen because of it. But John Engel was there, him in the wheelchair, very unable to do much,
Right.
but played the role. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, So I don't know. I don't know how interesting it would be. Leslie's longest running cast member says James since 1977.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Oh, she and Alan were something else in the 80s. They were like the War of the Roses. They were doing all kinds of things to each other.
Yeah. Oh man, when it comes to like classic soap turmoil, Alan and Monica are it.
Always cheating on each other, too.
Always, always. And then somehow, some
Always.
way, finding that love for what each other once again. So Mama, Nicholas Alexander Chavez is no longer in the credits of General Hospital.
Well, I think he's officially done there, isn't
That
he?
means that he is no longer under contract with them.
Right.
Which is, according to reaction, a smidge early.
Smidge early?
A smidge early, so it seems as though he might have been let out a little earlier than the end. Now, to me, that means that they are intending on either being done with Spencer entirely or trying to recast.
I would say the latter. I think they're going to try to recast him.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to recast him. I don't know what their future plans are. I think that. I think that there's
Man.
that the Sabrina fan base is more invested in Sabrina than the show ever really truly was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a future with Sabrina and Trina, with Sabrina and Trina, with Trina and Spencer. I don't know. I don't know what the future is when it comes to that.
They could put a wrench in it if they wanted to by having Spencer purposely stay gone. And that betrayal that Trina would feel that you're no better than your dad, or you let me believe you're dead.
Because at the end of it, they played up so much of the love that they had for one another, like the deep, unending, just passionate young person
Oh,
love.
the whole Paris stuff was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and it was just
All the
dripping
Paris
with
stuff was beautiful.
just the highest level of emotion and feeling that these two characters had for each other up at this point. He falls off the boat. You kind of have that momentum still behind him a little bit, And so if he were to come back, you would expect that he would not choose to be gone, that he would want to find Trina. Like these, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Mother. I don't know what the future holds.
I wonder how much longer they're going to leave him out there, though. Have him come back. I don't know.
But it's not going to be, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be Nick Chavez. And I'm with it. I understand. We've been saying it for you know, a while, since he left, really. Mm-hmm. What's the point of bringing him back on for 2 weeks in order to have to choose a new face anyway? Because there's no possibility he's resigning.
No, all that would do would disappoint fans.
Yeah. I mean, there's a small pocket out there that would love to see it. Mm-hmm. Let's see them reunite with Nicholas's face. Where they switch it to somebody else.
I think we need to get our warm and fuzzies from Paris.
From Harris?
From Paris.
Oh, from Paris. Yeah, just rewatch the reruns. Just watch.
That's our warm and fuzzies, and it was really good. You know, it was really good. What how they depicted the two of them, the last few scenes in Paris. I mean, they had finally made it to their bliss.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's been chatter, and I retweeted Nicholas Bechdel. On our account, because people are like, well, what about him, right? And then, of course, you know, the answer is he's too young and ugly or whatever, right? Like, he's not as handsome as Nicholas Chavez. He's too young, all that. And so he went out there, he tweeted, basically, I don't want to anyway, you terrible, toxic people. Like, that's my translation of his words. He was far more gracious and calm and kind and played you know, the mature person, as he should have. You know, he said, I understand I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm 19. I'm going to college. I'm good, essentially.
Yeah. But
there was a layer of subtext under there of, I don't know if I even want to anyway, with how horrible you people are.
Me and Sydney and Michaela are fine.
We're good.
We're good.
We're good. Oh, goodness gracious. People were so rude, says James. It's true. They were rude to him. They were rude. But hey, you know, it's whatever. It's whatever. It's Twitter, right? Go on there if you want to expose yourself to it or don't. You know where it's at if you want to see it. And you know where to avoid if you don't. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness gracious. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds for Nicholas Chavez, for the Spencer character. It seems as though Trina's looking for full closure.
She is.
Which my assumption is would be her going, you know, we should probably fish that body out of the water and bury that properly.
Well, he's got a headstone with no body.
Right. And so I'm just kind of feeling that might be the direction that they're heading in a little bit with it. But, you know, maybe they're going to find a body. Maybe he truly is dead, Mother.
I also noticed that the headstone did. That would have made Spencer either 22 or 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with it. If they do bring Spencer back, I want to see Spencer come back with a little more direction.
You think so?
He's flapping in the wind, doing absolutely nothing, Ma. That guy has no skills. He's got no job. He's got no future. He's got no plans other than I love Trina. Like, there needs to be more to Spencer Cassadine.
There does, but you know, the Cassadines aren't known for that. The Cassadines are known for wrecking havoc.
But they have skills and they have jobs.
Well, not that they've really depicted all that much, other than, you know, Cassadine Industries other makes money, Cassadine so much Industries. Money, and we have so many people working for us, we don't have to do shit ever.
Oh, goodness gracious. Who calling James names? What's going on? Not going to scroll up. Nobody. I don't know what you guys talk about, but whatever. I want to see Spencer come back with Esme, says Melissa. I don't know. I think we just need to move on from all of that. Just be done. We had our thing. We had our time. We got Ace. We'll just leave Ace in Laura's closet until he's 12. Like, really, we're good. I don't think we need to reach back into the Esme thing. As talented as Avery Kristen Pohl was, I'm done with it. You know, I think we can all move on.
If I had the choice between two long-haired lovelies to return, it would be Nell. I'd rather see Nell return than Esme. See
Nell just send a bunch of ripples in Nina's life again.
I'd rather see Nell.
What if Nina mentally breaks? See, we don't resurrect Nell, right? We don't physically resurrect Nell, but we get her back. We get Chloe Lanier back to play a hallucination of Nell inside Nina's head.
Well, I think that's perfect.
Didn't we have it? We had that once already where she showed up and wasn't Nell like, you wouldn't have fixed me anyway, Nina.
Yeah, they're at the graveyard.
Yeah.
At the cemetery where she was like, you know, trying to convince her to do nefarious things with her. We could be a great team.
Yeah, I think we should revisit that. I think that Nell should be a, you know, she needs to sign 6 months and be a depiction of Nina's imagination, a figment of it.
Or like Nina could fracture and her other personality is her awful
you
daughter.
And your soap DID.
I don't know, because
you want everybody to have more than one personality.
Some of my favorite viewing has been folks thinking they're somebody else.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. 100%. I love it. Oh.
I like DID and I like a good smackdown.
Yeah, you do. You really love a good smackdown. Oh, my goodness. Oh, maybe we'll get more smackdowns. Maybe there's going to be more physically fighting, you know, because I feel like we're leaning more into soap, you know, classic soap storytelling, you know, a little bit. So,
Elizabeth? I like where you're going.
Everybody hates my idea, Ma.
Everyone
See,
hates
this,
your
this
idea?
Is, this is the problem with social media and you people. Okay? So I come up with a brilliant idea, and then everybody says how their idea is better. Okay? Melissa's like, no, it needs to be in Willow's head. Why? Why, Melissa? Nope. And then Willow can have the split personality. Come on, Melissa. You just taking every part of the idea we said, but removing my part of the idea.
Well, I think Kate would probably love that idea. Because now that Willow's well, her character's kind of flat.
Carolyn is like, Nell should harm Carly. Look at that. Even Carolyn's like, you're wrong. I don't like this, folks. So you know what I expect from you people? Every time I open my mouth and give my thoughts and opinion, I expect this chat to be filled with, what a brilliant idea, Matt. You are a soap god. You are untouchable with how your mind works. That is what I expect, folks. Give that to me. Give that to me. And if you can't give that to me, donate to the super chat. Taiwan, you missed all the Valentine chatter. We started off with that.
Sure did. And isn't he sinister now? Oh my gosh.
Oh goodness gracious.
I want to know, does this mean that JPS has got more time for General Hospital right now?
It feels as though he's finished with his villains of Valley View season 2 or 3.
Yeah, he went away from that kind of villain to this kind of villain. Oh boy. But you know what I'm a little concerned about with a new writing, Matt? What they gonna do with Cyrus?
Whatever they want.
You know,
oh gosh, everybody, you guys are so kind. Instead of donating to the super chat, Ma, now I'm just being littered with compliments. What a brilliant idea, Matt. Your mind is amazing, says Chandra. What a brilliant idea, Matt. You're the best, says Carolyn. You're brilliant, Matthew, shouts Kelly. Matt, that was a brilliant idea, says James. Thank you, everybody.
I think they're blowing smoke up your skirt.
I don't wear a skirt, Mother. I wear pants. Thank you. Shorts right now. And Kelly donated. Oh, you guys. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Kelly. Don't let Kelly do it alone, folks. All right. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about pants. I don't know. Nobody had any bad pants. You know, pants were fine this week. What'd you think? Oh, we got your soap violence this week, Mom. We got Danny, Deck, and Jake.
I know. I looked at Daniela. They were wrestling around, weren't they?
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, they had some stand-in folks for that.
Did they? Mm-hmm. Really?
Because I saw the actor that plays Danny with his stuff.
Oh.
They both had a little flip in their head.
Well, he definitely threw the punch. I feel like Asher Antonsen, who plays Danny, was the one that threw the punch. So whatever rolling around must have been the stunt people. But, that's good. I'm really liking this Asher kid. I think he's really taking to Danny very well.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too. And the reason why I like it so much, I think it's believable because, okay, so Danny's mom is Sam. Sam got a little more fire to her than Liz does.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's done some unexpected stuff in the past too, you know, and some dangerous stuff, kind of different than Liz. Now, Liz has done some stuff too, but Liz is more of a stir the pot and step away.
Yeah. The chances of her getting, into fisticuffs is a little less likely than Sam.
So
it's good.
what I was surprised about was I would have thought that Danny would have got the best of Jake. Not Jake got Danny.
Well, I don't know. I guess if you were to put those two kids next to each other, I would assume that Danny would probably win.
Because Danny would be, to me, Danny would just be more of an aggressor, you
He's more of
know?
an aggressor. And then when it comes to physicality, too, like Jake is taller, but he's lanky.
Well,
Danny
there's
looks
really
like he'd
not,
be able to push
they're
some.
side by side. There really isn't that much difference in them. You
No.
know, I think Danny's got a little more, a little more girth to him, a little
Yeah.
more, a little more muscle mass maybe. Where, like you said, Jake is kind of lanky still. He's tall and, he's like a puppy that's grown into his paws and feet.
He'll get there. Give him a
Very
little more time to bake everybody.
exactly.
It's
Danny
good
just
though.
seems a little more edgy.
And I
But I
just,
turned that to their mother.
I appreciate that it wasn't just them as well. We had Aiden in the back too, not doing much other than, hey guys, don't do that. But it just goes to show, just more life.
I thought Abe's part was a little I don't know.
He's still figuring out how to act, honestly.
Yeah.
You can see him still working it out.
Now, Aiden, to me, if it was for real life, Aiden would have picked a side.
I here's the thing. We're finding out, that Danny and Alexis have a great relationship. We're finding out that Danny and Dante have a great relationship. We're finding out all of these things about Danny that were off screen before. And so it's just a matter of these things now being presented to us and us having to catch up with what they want us to know about these characters going forward, even though we never saw it before.
And I think it really leans toward it leans toward them showing us some relationship with their dad eventually. And I hope that Jason winds up with the two of them in front of them someday,
It might
with
happen sooner than later. He's gonna have Jake in front of him here in no time, because he's currently standing on Elizabeth's stoop. He's frozen in time right now, folks, standing there waiting to walk in. So it would make some, but like I was trying to lead into with all of this stuff that we haven't seen on screen. Since we haven't seen this stuff on screen, it would be our natural assumption that Aiden and Jake would be closer because they live together. While Danny and Dante's kid would be
Yes.
closer because they live together. But we're not quite seeing that from Aiden. Aiden seems to be a little more neutral through all of the brothers than we'd seen. So maybe he's just going to be the chill one. Maybe he is the middle kid, being the youngest.
Maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's also possible that they have a great idea of where they're taking Danny and Jake, but not so clear of an idea of where they're taking Aiden, but just want to include him. I don't know. I don't know. Aiden is the peacemaker, says James. I guess we need one of those. He
Trying to
could be the
be.
Chase.
He's trying to be. He's
Chase
trying
in
to be.
Brooklyn going for a cheaper wedding.
Yes.
We just don't have the 80s budget anymore for grand weddings. And so now everybody must be married at home.
We're at that little chapel.
Or at the little chapel.
At
So
the
yeah,
little
no,
chapel, you know,
sounds like
what
they're
it
gonna get
is.
married at home. And they're gonna do it so Gregory doesn't have to go anywhere because he can't even ride the elevator anymore.
He's struggling. Struggling. And I thought the last scene we saw of Gregory, it really showed us the audience that his disease is progressing.
Big time, big time. Oh my goodness gracious, another donation here. Chandra, thank you so much. I missed one earlier because we were talking Melissa. Kelly, Melissa, and Chandra, thank you so much for your
Hey
contributions to Super
guys.
Chat. Well, once I hit that first goal, upgrade.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Oh, can you know what? I forgot to put my mic close. My mic is super far away.
You
You
have
guys, can
sounded a
you
little
hear me?
funny. I've heard you the whole time, but you have
this baby over here.
You have sounded a little distant.
I just forgot.
It's all right.
Better?
A little bit. Maybe even worse. Who knows? Who cares?
Oh, let me see.
We're just hanging out.
Yeah, it's turned. It's a.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it the distance. You know, I talk right into mine, and so mine is very, like, super clear and deep, bassy.
Well, usually I remember to pull it up next to me, and I didn't.
I could do the podcast from way back here, but it sounds way different.
Yes, it sounds echoey.
Yeah. So, you know, a little canny, right? A little tin canny. Right. So I prefer to be up here.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever. That's just me. That's just technical stuff. Plus, you know, I've seen all those pictures and videos of people doing radio shows, and this is how they have things set up.
They are.
Because
WKRP in Cincinnati.
KGO bum 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 weather on the 25s. The sun has creeped out once again from behind the dark cloud coverage here in Sherman Oaks, California.
Mm-hmm.
I can still see some white clouds in the sky, probably covering at least 50% of it. But they're white clouds and not dark clouds, which is different than what we experienced over the last couple of days. Dun, 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 dun. Weather on the 25s.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens with all these people. I love Jason's back, and I want to see what's so poor Sonny. What is going to happen to
Sonny?
What's going to
happen with him? What's going to happen with Christina and Molly, mother? Listen, all right? They finally had a conversation about something that wasn't the baby.
Yeah, they did, huh?
They did. They were talking about whether or not Molly was going to be able to keep a straight head while trying to make sure that Jason stays in the slammer, and she really had to establish herself. My lawyer life and my personal life are very different from each other.
Yes.
Christina.
Yes. Yes.
So that's good.
You know, have I completely forgotten the characteristics of how Christina was in the past? You know, that girl, she engages her mouth before her brain often.
Often. Often. often. Yeah. And, you know, she's somebody who, like, we talk about Kate Mancy and how she's brought an element of maturity and adulthood to the role of Christina. But what she still isn't is, you know, not reactionary, you know?
Right.
We've just seen it over the last couple of weeks. She's presented with something that makes her think, oh, well, maybe this is right. And then she leans in that direction. And then she finds out something else. And then it pulls her back in the original or in a different thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's not even necessarily she's going to believe the most recent thing that she's heard. But her ability to mold her opinion based off of new information seems to be very apparent.
And I think the new writers are touching back on their personality traits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, with things that Christina's done in the past, and also mentioning how doe-eyed and romanticized Molly used to view the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I guess she would have to open up her eyes being a lawyer.
How she used to try to make Jason and Sam be together all the time and would decorate the house. And, you know, when she was like Avery.
Like, how can you possibly, you know, be the prosecutor against Jason when your life has been, I want Jason to be happy. Or right. I want this love story in front of my eyes.
Right.
And no, I get it.
It's kind of cool that they checked.
It's another reach. You know, into the history, this little hole that Anna makes every week. You know, they're reaching into that hole and pulling nuggets of history out and informing the characters today. So it's cool. It's cool. They made a Shiloh reference, says Blink. Yeah.
They did. Yeah. They did make a Shiloh reference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Jason was instrumental in saving Christina.
Yep.
And yep. Sam was too, of course. Big time Sam and Jason together saved her.
Yeah. Well, Melissa says that Chrissy telling Nina all of that BS about Sonny being the happiest she's ever seen him. And that's because she hangs out with his other kids more than Christina. You're his least favorite child. I would say that's, I don't know if he's his least favorite child, but Sonny's favorite kid is definitely Dante.
Apparently.
I mean, it's kind of always his favorite kid. Ever since he shot him.
And he was, when he finally got the news from Ava, manipulated, that Dante was awake. Man, it was so easy for her to orchestrate him to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And he would run out the door if she wasn't there. If he would have saw that text and he was home alone, he'd have said, Frank, we got to go to the hospital.
Gosh, thank you very much, Carol, for your major contribution to the Super Chat. The biggest one we've ever had so far. Thank you. gosh. My gosh. Blink is saying that Christine is acting out of character with Jason, and I have to disagree with that a little bit. I think it's unrealistic to expect that 100% of every single person in Port Charles with Jason back in town would go, oh, yeah, no, he didn't do this.
No.
To have every single person be pulled under the spell of Jason would never, I think, is extremely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, Christina, of all of Sonny's kids, respects his opinion more than the others.
I don't
see Christina stepping up and arguing with Sonny on a regular basis. Now, if she did under Lexi Ainsworth 10 years ago, that's different.
Well, she did. She was mad at her dad for a year.
But that was a decade ago, right?
Well, there's close to it, yes.
There's no reason for those same feelings to still be actively playing in how she's seeing her father today. So of what I have seen over the last couple of years with Sonny's interactions with his kids, Christina has been more consistently on his side than all of the other ones.
I have to. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because you have to only think of the older kids too, you know.
Yeah, you know, Avery doesn't count.
Yeah, it's got to be Michael, Christina, Dante.
Even putting Jocelyn in there. You call it Michael, Jocelyn, Dante, Christina. Mm-hmm. Would be his four adult children.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. You know, Jocelyn, girl, a very, very distant no form. Well, you know, but up until yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
Of those four, Christina has been unwaveringly on Sunny's side, at least in the time that we've been doing the podcast. So let me at least limit it to that number of years.
I thought Carly's reaction to him was pretty good, you know, with her, what is wrong with you?
He's had it. This is what it is. He's just had it.
Ooh.
If the kid who's joined the cult is always backing your decisions, rethink your decisions. Ooh, nasty, Melissa. She didn't mean to join the cult. She was manipulated. Goodness. Goodness, Michael was Sonny's favorite. I think Michael just spent the most time with Sonny because Michael always lived at the house. Till he got married.
I agree with you, though. He was his favorite one. On a time, he was.
He's the one that's been around the longest.
And then, of course, and then he had a pretty good relationship with Morgan, too, though. Sonny did.
I don't know. I didn't see any of that. So I don't care. Oh, goodness gracious. What's a good
cause? I guess that's why that, you know, all that rumbling we heard about Morgan coming back is just not true.
Carolyn wants to know what the money goes to, if you can contribute to a super chat, and it goes to me. Thanks. No, so this money, it goes into a YouTube account, which I can't withdraw until I hit a certain level that the account goes to. Once I hit that level, I can pull it out and it goes into my personal bank account. But what I'm going to do with that, though, is I'm going to upgrade this microphone. So when I bump it, it doesn't go out and I don't have to fiddle with it for 5 minutes before we go on a podcast for it to work.
Yeah, and on down the road. You need a monitor, too.
I need a second monitor, probably upgrade. You know, the chassis on my laptop is starting to crack a little bit here. So, you know, it goes to equipment, server space, and just the general continuation of these shows. As fun as it is to bring to you guys, it ain't free. None of these shows that you watch about soaps are free for the people who are putting them on. So, thank you for any contribution you can make. I am not demanding it, nor even truly asking for it. It's just available if you wish to contribute. Yeah. Morgan was always jealous that Sonny loved Michael more. See, even Morgan didn't like Sonny. Again, more evidence that Christina is the kid.
Yeah, well, she currently is anyway.
Yeah. The money goes to tech and event tickets. Now, that would be the most ideal situation. Now, I don't expect, you know, the 4, 5, 6 regular contributors on the chat to send us $1,000 between the five of them. That would be ridiculous. But eventually, you know, if we get a number of people wanting to chip in their $1.99 or 99 cents, when they come and hang out with us on Sunday, we would be able to turn that into Graceland tickets and airfare and sweetening the pot for somebody to come on the show or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the future holds. Don't come to me for the news or plans.
Yeah, we're, you know what, you guys, we are embarking on our going into our fifth season.
Yeah.
And in our continuous 4 years.
Next Sunday is going to be
a next Sunday is our anniversary.
Yeah, I hope everybody can join us next Sunday for it. So exciting.
And honestly, I didn't think that we would do this for four continuous years. Mm-hmm. We have like, I don't know, maybe about 225 or so episodes out there. Wouldn't you say that?
We have, I can tell you exactly how many posts, how many episodes we have. Give me a second to pull it up.
I was just guessing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been doing it, you know, it's going to be the beginning of our fifth season. So it'll be the start of our fifth year.
Yes.
So
we started, our first show was April the 8th of 2020.
Yeah. Log it into the server here. So I can tell you exactly how many episode numbers we put up. Now, this is going to include 10th Floor. This is going to include Days for Dummies and also Late Night Tonight.
Mm-hmm. Which there isn't very many episodes of Late Night Tonight, maybe.
No, because I am bad at coming up with ideas and concepts for it.
So am I, obviously. You know, I never have anything for you, do I?
You know, like sitting here, you know, and then we're like, well, we could podcast, and then like we need something to at least put on the cover art about what it is we at least intend to talk about, even if we only spend 2 minutes talking about it. hey, Dolly continuing to like videos, so thank you very much, Dolly, for that. One day you're going to hear me say your name.
Yeah, she's continuing to watch from the beginning?
From the beginning, week after week.
So cool.
Nope, that's not what I want. I'm getting there, Ma. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to figure that out. Exactly. Goodness. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just wasting airtime now.
It's okay.
You're not filling the air.
This is sorry.
Your fault. Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know. We have a lot. We got a number. Thank you, Daisy, for your contribution. Oh my goodness. That's their fifth super chat. Thank you very much, Daisy, for your regular contributions.
Thank you, Daisy.
Oh. Hey, George. George is here. 32 are watching. Everybody like that. Hit the smiddle. Smash that like button right now. Okay. Fifth season needs to add a little kid to the show, says Blink. All right. Well, we got a couple of little kids that would love to be a part of the show, but they would dominate it, so we can't.
Yeah.
You remember a couple weeks ago when there was a whole gymnastics competition happening behind Ma? So you sure. We'll consider that, yeah. Kids.
They'll be here season. Later on, but we'll be off there by then.
Oh, gosh. Kaiwan watches us a little bit in his pocket. So that's good. I imagine they just listen to the audio while jogging or something.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Good. When I was commuting, boy, I used to listen to all kinds of podcasts in the car because I commuted so many hours a week. Man, me and my car turned into one. Man, I commuted so much. 15, 16 hours a week in that car. So I listened to a truckload of podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not even just soap podcasts, like true crime, all kinds of different stuff filling your time. Because eventually, eventually music is boring.
Oh, no. I disagree. I disagree. I've always said, you know, I always said to your dad, and I say this to you too, Matt, if anything ever happens to me, like I'm like, you know, unresponsive, I'm in a coma or something.
Play music.
You never let the music turn off in my room. You play my playlist and you never let it turn off and I will wake up. I'll wake up. I know I will. Just like don't they. I just need some music.
Chandra has a Late Night Tonight idea. The career of Jeff Cober. All things Jeff Cober.
That's not a bad one.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Drives grandma nuts, says Gene. I don't know about what, though. People just talking in the chat. Nina has three jobs now. I don't
Well,
think
she
she's going
don't
to work
work
for
for the
Curb.
invader no more.
Yeah, she what's her second job? Oh, well, she owns the Metro Court.
Crimson
Crimson
and
and Metro
the
Court.
Metro Court.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for Nina losing it all. I love me some Cynthia Watros, but I can't stand Nina. And
Yeah,
I'm
no.
ready for her to lose it all. Obviously, she's lost her best friend and just doesn't know it yet because that Ava ain't worth having,
Yeah.
apparently. So she gonna lose her she's lost her best friend. And I'm beginning to think, with all this crud that Ava's done recently, she never was her best friend.
Maybe for a minute.
I think Ava was just kind of like, she didn't have a whole lot to choose from at the time.
Guess we're gonna have to find out, you know? Like we found out all kinds of stuff that Valentine's been secretly up to. Maybe
Ooh-wee.
another maybe a revelatory scene for Ava is going to be coming soon. Let's see. Michelle says there's 201 videos on our YouTube channel. So that means that in total we probably have close to 500 episodes.
500.
Why
That's not possible.
wouldn't it be possible?
It's just 52 weeks in a year.
Why well yeah, and we did the podcast for like 2 years before doing the YouTube, right?
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
I guess. Oh, you know what? This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go on to this. I'm gonna figure it out. My watch. Podcasts, right? I'm gonna go to Apple Podcasts and it's gonna tell me. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, Matt, you know what I
Yeah.
listened to this morning?
What'd you listen to?
I listened to the Easter Hare. I listened to us die on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, 232 according to 10th Floor Podcasts
Sounds good. That sounds about
podcast
right.
number. So I'm gonna continue to say 500. It just makes it
Okay.
sound better.
Sure does.
If you count the interviews, GH event, and the extra extra specials, sure. Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much, Chandra. Oh, goodness. Chandra agrees that they were never best friends, and Ava's always had Nina's number. So.
I don't know that Ava, beyond Trina or her children, are capable of having a honest, real, relationship that's not. She didn't have some synergy or plan behind it.
And maybe even the relationship that Ava has with Trina is solely based on the fact that Trina came into her life just after Kiki died.
Could be.
You know, like if Ava starts
Could
treating, you
be.
know, like
I would be. I would be really interested in knowing how Maura West feels about it. Does Maura West love playing Ava good, or is she more loving to play Ava bad? Which one does she like more, or does she just thrilled as all get out to play Ava?
See, okay, so we're still getting some late night tonight suggestions in, but you know what, Ma? They're all soap centric. I think our audience has a taste and a flavor for only one thing.
Well, that's not surprising.
It's generous. It's not like, what just talk more GH, but it's like, like an actor of the week and the other projects that they're doing, but a soap actor, you know? I don't know, whatever. Anyway.
We have to, yeah. We're going to do
We'll
Thursday
figure it
stuff.
out. Maybe we'll just log on and just go, hey, Ma, how's it going? And then just see what comes up.
We could do that.
Probably good. What you been doing? Oh, it's been a lazy day. Yeah, Ma, it's been super lazy. Because it's not like we can't talk to each other. It's not like we wouldn't find something to speak about.
That's true.
There's never been a, I don't think there's ever been a point in time where Mom and I have been in the same room where we're just like, I don't know, whatever.
Not too many times, huh?
No, I mean, it probably would come at like the end of some sort of long, nerdy conversation. Besides, here's the thing. My mother's always been very approachable, okay? And she's always been one to kind of listen to the innate dribbling of their children, okay? My
Because
whole
I'm
life.
actually, because I'm interested in all your dribble.
My whole life. Which means that I am very used to even in my ripe old gray age, having a thought, having an idea, having a concept, a something that I feel like I need to share, or I feel like my mother would appreciate. And it comes out very quickly. I could be sitting there hanging out for Christmas, sitting on the couch, and then, it comes to my mind that, Patrick Stewart's coming back to be guest star as Captain Picard in a new Star Trek show. And you know who I'm going to tell my mother? You know who I'm going to tell about that? My mama. And she'll go, wow, how interesting. She won't care. Not in any sort of real deep way. But she'll be happy I'm excited. And she'll listen to me talk about it. Remember at the even at the top of this podcast, I explained WandaVision to my mom. She listened to the whole thing. By the way, the chat thinks that you would enjoy that show. I don't know. It's one of the things where you kind of have to know who the people are before getting into it. It's not.
I tell you,
It's hard.
this is just true for me, and I don't know if y'all all you guys can relate to a certain degree. This thing right here, look at that handsome dude right there. He's so nice. Look at him.
He's really coming
Ooh, I
through
love
too. He's
him.
being broadcast like crazy. That is a clear picture.
I'm crazy about him. Anyway, this device right here has stolen my ability to pay attention.
You'll be sitting there, the television will be on as soon as you slightly get bored.
Exactly. And I've gotten to like I can't pay attention to any longer than like a freaking TikTok is. I mean, my mind just starts, and that's new. I've not always been that way.
Here's the thing, Ma. Here's the
It
real
just
truth of
did.
the situation, the real God's honest truth, and I'm not trying to be mean. Excuse me. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm not trying to say something controversial. I'm just going to tell you what it is that I think.
What's that?
Television and movies in 2024 compared to even the early 2000s is boring, trash, terrible.
On it, I agree with you
En
to a certain
masse.
degree.
When it comes down to it, there was once upon a time, up until 10 years ago maybe, there was a show every night of the week that was on regular broadcast TV that I was invested and interested in. There was a Monday show and a Tuesday show, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday show. Maybe two on Thursday because Thursday's stacked, usually when it comes to new stuff. It's gone. I
It
don't have, well, it's Monday, it's time to watch 30 Rock. It's Tuesday, it's time to watch Parks and Rec. It's Wednesday, it's time to watch the RuPaul's Drag Race. It's Thursday, it's time to watch House. It's Friday, well, Thursday, it's House, and it's wrestling, and it's this, and it's that. That is gone.
That is
It is
gone.
gone.
It's not 100% gone, but a lot of it's gone.
A lot of it is gone, and it's not due to, well, I only stream now, and it's not due to, because I only stream, but I stream Paramount and I stream NBC. I still have access to the thing, but the offerings just are not as interesting.
Especially on network television.
Like that new show that has the dude from This Is Us, and was at the concert.
Tracker. I believe he's called Tracker.
Yeah, Tracker, like that thing. People lo apparently it's very good, and people are enjoying it and all that kind of stuff. I don't have any sort of interest, and if I were to turn it on, I know that it would just be like this repeat show every week of this guy finding a dude.
I haven't watched an episode of it either. I haven't either. And I like Justin Hartley. I haven't watched an episode of it either. Your grandma has, and she says it is good.
But even then, like the good in today wouldn't be, the good from before. Even like Quantum Leap, Ma. They you know Quantum Leap. Quantum
I
Leap.
sure do.
Scott Bakula. Jumping through time, all that kind of
And then
stuff.
they did it again,
They
right?
did it again. They rebooted it. They have a new thing and all that kind of stuff. But it's so dry and basic. There's nothing there anymore. Like there's nothing to fill things out. There's just a skeleton of the idea of a show with no meat on the bones. And I think that's what we get a lot. There's exceptions. This Is Us was very good. That
It
Karate
was.
Kid show apparently is very good
It
that Sean Kanan is on. You know, we have
Haven't
our
seen
shows
that.
that we like. We like GH. I like I pulled up a three-body problem on Netflix, and I watched, you know, that season, and the little short a sci-fi fun little thing about aliens coming and the threat that's going to arrive on the planet 400 years from now, and how we deal as a society understanding that in 400 years these aliens are going to be here to kick our ass. How do we deal with that right now? Is the concept of the show, and I found it to be interesting. So there's some exceptions out there, but by and large, like Chandra says,
Television just not as good as it used to be, right?
must-see TV no longer exists, according to Chandra.
Yeah. You know that old song? Do you remember that old song? Well, you don't, Matt, but some of us do about TV killed radio. Okay. Well, the internet killed TV.
It killed the artistic quality behind the things that we were watching. You could see, at least I can see reflecting now. I wouldn't be able to have said this, you know, as entertainment has evolved in front of us, but I can say it now in retrospect that the artistry is gone and the obvious push for money is very clear in just how things are done. And internet didn't help with that. Streaming didn't help with that. Being able to consume very quickly large amounts of entertainment didn't really help with that. Especially with people turboing through this stuff, they're not paying attention to those artistic details any longer. Anyway, my God, how far on? See, this is late night tide, everybody.
Yeah, we went down a rabbit hole, didn't we?
Big one, a big one, a big one. Anyway, it's Easter. It's almost noon. We need to lean into the wrap up.
We do because I'm expecting guests in 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Right, and I'm sure there's still stuff that needs to happen.
Oh, I was busy yesterday trying to pre as much as I could, trying to get things done as much. I was making potato salad all day yesterday afternoon. I was up last night, 10 o'clock, making Rice Krispie treats.
Oh wow, you didn't just buy them. Look at you, just committing.
Hate that.
Committing. Melissa rewatches old TV. Jeannie is convinced that reality TV has ruined the rest of television.
Reality TV was the beginning of it, that's for sure.
I don't
That's
think
Survivor. That was
so.
the beginning.
Reality TV hurt in daytime, that's for sure. And that's been well documented over the years. We as a entertainment consuming society has moved on in major ways from being so obsessed with reality TV.
It has stepped away from it a little bit.
You
It's not
still have
as,
your Kardashians.
yeah, but it used to be the Great Race and this and that and all
You
these
know,
things.
those
Everybody
shows are still
loving
on.
that
They're just
stuff.
not the pulse of pop culture anymore. Survivor's still on, but it's not this
Yes.
massive, every single person on the planet is watching it and talking about it at work anymore. It's still on. It's still
Right.
available if you want to watch it, but it's not the powerhouse juggernaut that it once was. Same thing with Amazing Race and all of these other, the Kardashians are still there, but we don't have Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie finding another show to be on ABC. When it comes down to it, if you're following a celebrity, a Real Housewives of, or the kids of Sylvester Stallone, those reality shows, you're gonna find them on E. You're gonna find them on a specific network, and it's no longer just proliferated across
Not a
all.
huge fan of that kind of programming. I tell you, the one I cannot stand, and it's on ABC, loves that crap. Oh, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I don't care if you're 20 years old, 25 years old. I don't care if you're 65 years old. I don't care. Holy smokes. I am not going to compete with 29 other chicks for some dude to look at me. Oh,
Oh,
hell
I
to
know.
the no.
You hate that show.
Hate
You've always hated The Bachelor.
it. Hate it.
Always, always, always. Anyway, go to the elevator, folks. Let's get out of here. We're not in the hospital. We were hanging out at Bobby's today.
That's right.
We've turned the sign. It says
We
close
turn
now.
the sign.
Sorry we missed you. And with a little hand clock that says, when we're gonna open again, which is gonna be next week live.
Oh, I loved this week too, Carly. Carly made it, it kind of made Mr. Kate's like, oh yeah, you ain't getting no BLT here. Get to moving. Get to
Get to
step.
stepping. Get to stepping. COVID
No
killed the
BLT for you.
30-something reboot. Good. We don't need a 30-something reboot. Cares about 30-something.
Are we getting in the elevator?
Yeah, we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. I was just thinking of how much I wanted an Everwood reunion, but we can't do that because Treat Williams passed away.
He did. And
He
I
did.
just finished watching him on the Swans.
Oh, yeah?
I watched him on the Swans. Yeah, the Truman Capote.
Oh.
He played Babe's husband on
Okay.
that. I believe it's his last role.
Oh, okay. And he was on a series. It was on some sort of Hallmark Channel show. So, yeah, I don't know. And then, just yesterday, Chance Padromo, I think his last name is, he passed away. He's an actor who passed away in a motorcycle accident as well.
I've never heard of that person.
Chase or Chance Padromo, he was a rising star. He was only 27. He's in the 27 Club now.
Aw.
Where he was he's been on a number of shows that were on Netflix, essentially. He was on the Sabrina, the Teenage Witch reimagining,
The
the reboot one, which was more darker and, not a comedy. Well, it was fun. It was comedy. There was a comedy to it, but it wasn't a sitcom
Little
like,
different.
yeah, it wasn't a sitcom like the Caroline Ray one. Melissa Joan Hart is probably the better reference. So he was on that, and then he was recently on the first season of this show called Gen V, which is a spin-off of another show called The Boys, which is a very violent superhero show. And so passed away in a motorcycle accident. It's just a bummer. But hey, life is fragile
Is.
out there, everybody. And so I'm using that as a lead in to go spend some time with your families, especially on
Yes.
this Easter Sunday. I've been
That's
Matt.
what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, so I've been Matt.
I've been Kat.
We'll catch you next time right here on the 10th floor. Like and subscribe. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.